The passage we're going to be studying tonight, and probably over the next several weeks, it's Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. Let's go ahead and just read it. My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you'll understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of justice and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you'll understand what is right, just, and fair. And you'll know how to find the right course of action every time. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. It seems like, you know, as you talk to people and you try to understand where they are in their walk with God, it seems that everybody is frustrated by what they would characterize as kind of a one-way dialogue with God, where we're coming to him, we're crying out to him, we're praying to him, and we're saying, God, 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 God. And for the most part, a lot of people say they just feel like there's just silence on the other end of the line. They don't even know if God is listening to them, much less responding to what they are saying. And maybe you're facing some incredibly important decisions in your life and you just want God to help you, tell you to go to the left or go to the right. Or maybe you're the kind of person who just always wants to be in the flow of what God wants and what his will is, but you're just not really sure how to get him to respond to you and how to get his attention. And for me, honestly, there's been times where it seems like God makes it extremely difficult, you know, to hear his voice. And just ridiculous, as if everything is some big test, everything is some big trial, and that only if I do it all right and get it just perfectly in place, then, you know, I also hear his voice. But I've learned, and what we've just read here in Proverbs 2 says that that's all wrong. My experience is altered, and it somehow is not reflecting the truth that God wants to have for us. And so I have a misperception of God, and my guess would be most of you have a misperception of God, who he is, how he relates to us, how he wants to talk to us, and what he wants our lives to be like with him. So I'm going to spend the next few weeks, and we're going to be talking about the God who speaks. And my intention is to explain to you from the Word how he wants to talk to you about everything in your life. And as we talked about last week, he already knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows all your thoughts. He knows the words that you're going to speak as they're being formed in your brain. He knows all your motives, all your intentions, all your desires. And he is the God who, notwithstanding all that's in us, he loves us. He cares for us. And as we read last week, his thoughts about us are just innumerable. He never stops thinking about us. And this is a God, because he loves you so much, he wants to lead you in all things. He wants to guide you down the good path, and he wants to communicate to you so you understand what those paths are and how to follow his voice and follow his leading. But here's the thing. God, when he speaks, he always speaks in context of relationship of the people that he's dealing with. And for those of you who've kind of been here from the beginning, when I first started teaching here at Pathway, the very first Sunday, I said that there's one thing that God desires from us. And that is relationship. Because we were created, we were made to be in union and to be in fellowship with God. And although sin has destroyed that and separated that, and we find ourselves with this big gap between us and God, God has done everything he can to allow us to have a restoration of that fellowship that we once had with him. And he desires every single person to be restored to such a place with such closeness and such intimacy that we're one with him. I'm going to put this little graphic on the screen because it kind of explains where God wants us to be. These two circles, the inner circle is kind of us. The outer circle is God. And see, God knows that we are never safer. We're never more protected. We're never stronger. And we're never more satisfied than when we are locked inside of him in a deep, open, and intimate relationship. In this graphic, the smaller circle, which I said was us, okay, so often moves in and out of that place where God wants us. But this is the place where we want to find ourselves. This is the ideal, where we are totally enmeshed in Him. And He is before us, He is behind us, He's above us, and He's below us. And everything about Him is giving us the protection and care that He wants to give us. So this is what I would call the perfect ideal relationship. Clearly, however, so few of us find ourselves in this place where we're smack dead center with God and in the will of God. So you got to ask yourselves, why? Why don't we find ourselves there in this ideal place if that's what God wants? Well, let's go back to that concept of relationship. God wants relationship. And from the perspective of relationship, whether it's with God or any of us, there's some very key elements to having a successful, vibrant relationship, whether it's between friends, between, you know, parents, between spouses, between anything. There's some key elements that we must do and do well in order to have a good relationship. These five factors are basically we need to have a mutuality of interest. There needs to be a strong attraction between the two parties. There needs to be honesty. There needs to be loyalty. And of course, there needs to be a level of respect. And I want to look at each of these elements. And first, we're going to take them from the perspective of God and His part in this and what He's done with this and how He's done everything to enable us to have a successful and vibrant relationship with Him. Let's look at the first one, a mutuality of interest. Well, we're not pointing yet. We're not pointing yet. Stay on the little circles. So Jesus became like us. And He became flesh so that He can experience all that we experienced. And He became a man so that we can have someone in the heavens, a high priest, who relates to us, who actually understands us. Remember, the Bible tells us that He was tempted in all things that we've been tempted. And we know that He suffered brutally at the hands of fellow men. So He knows what our suffering is like. And He also knows what it is clearly to love. Because everyone He touched, He gave His love and His mercy to. Therefore, when it comes into, you know, taking an interest in all the things that are important to us, He did it because He lived it. He became it so He could share it with us. Number two, there must be a strong attraction. Well, God loves us so much, and He is so attracted to you as an individual that He is willing to leave His place with the Father and come in the form of flesh so that He could have a relationship with us. He values intimacy, and He values it above His own life. And this is an attraction and a love that few of us can really relate to. It's unconditional, and it's overwhelming, and it pours out from Him onto us. The third aspect is honesty. And this is probably perhaps one of the most important aspects of any relationship because it is the foundation for trust. And if someone is dealing with you out of lies or out of partial truths, well, then your relationship is kind of a sham. It's on very shaky ground. It is not stable. It's in and out, up and down, and you cannot really rely on that person. And in fact, if you allow yourself that engagement with a person who deals with you on that way, you're going to probably be hurt, and you're going to probably be damaged. But God, the one thing about Him, He has always dealt with us in truth. And always dealt with us in honesty. And He's been very clear about what we are like without Him and what our lives could be like with Him. Now, sometimes we don't like that honesty because it is too raw and it's too in our face, and so we kind of turn away from it. But the truth is the truth. We're hopelessly lost without Him, and we are hopelessly sick without Him. But you know what? All that He says about Himself, all that He says about us, is true. And He's never sugarcoated it. He's never tried to hide it. He's never tried to, you know, play the edges. He's just said the truth the way it is. So God has totally been honest with each of us about who we are and what He wants for our lives. Number four is loyalty. And if we don't have loyalty in a relationship, we're going to never feel safe and secure. There's always going to be some doubt lingering in the back of our minds that just bother us. But God's loyalty to us has actually been unfathomable. Every one of us has sinned, and violated God and God's laws. Every one of us has blown it just crazy. But yet, despite our sin, despite our rebellion, and despite the fact that every one of us deserves death, God still puts his hand out and offers us life. And he offers to every one of us the ability to be his child and to spend eternity with him. That's the free gift that he offers. And he offers us the ability to have a permanent relationship with him. And even when we deny him, even when we betray him, even when we avoid him and ignore him and practically let him not have any place at all in our day-to-day life and we push him out, he's never turned his head away from us and he's kept his hand extended for us to grab. And he keeps it out. He never withdraws it. And the last aspect of an incredibly successful, vibrant relationship is this issue of respect. And respect comes in really two pieces. One of it is more of an attitude, you know, and what's going on and how we can show an attitude of respect. And the other comes in the form of behavior. And if our behaviors are contradictory to what we say and what we are trying to, you know, help people understand as an attitude, then it means nothing to us. It's meaningless. Both the attitude has to be there and the behavior has to be there. Both must be in alignment for there to be respect in a relationship. And God has always been consistent in dealing with us. When he tells us he loves us and he respects us, he's always treated us on that basis. First and foremost, he's never forced us to do anything. God always lets you choose. He gives you life, he gives you death. It's your choice. He offers you heaven or hell. It's your choice. He offers you intimacy or barrenness. It is your choice. He never forces. All he does is continue to offer his life, his love, his peace, and his freedom. And he's saying, please, please take it. But he will always respect your wishes. And in terms of his follow through with his behaviors, he knows everything about you. So he knows what you need the most. And he knows exactly how to be the loving father to you and provide to you what is the most important thing within you. Those places where you need acceptance, those places where you need to feel complete, he's the one who can offer that. And he does it day in and day out. So from the perspective of relationship and kind of these major factors for success, God has done his part. And God constantly and continually does his part. There's really no basis from which we can criticize God in terms of hitting these major performances. But there's still something missing from this list, and it's really important. What else is critical and absolutely vital to success in a relationship? Clear, open, and honest communication. And regular communication. Nobody can be in a relationship that is very healthy if they're talking to each other, you know, once every couple weeks. No one could be in a deep, vibrant relationship if all they talk about is, hey, nice weather today. Yeah, that was cool. It requires deep intimacy down to the thoughts and matters of our heart. And in the same way that God did his part to secure the possibility for us to have a deep relationship with him, he also is the God who speaks to you continually. And he's always attempting to connect with you in order that you can hear his voice, hear his leading, and receive his instruction and his wisdom for your life. So you may be wondering how I can say this, how I can make such audacious claims about God, because most of you have never experienced God talking to you, have never experienced God leading you, and you think that I'm kind of just, you know, sermonizing here. In fact, often some of you have stopped and sought God, and it seems like he's doing his best not to communicate with you. Like he wants you to search the heavens to try to find the answer. And if you don't find it, oh well, bad luck for you. And you're kind of left stuck to your own devices. But let me assure you this. The problem is not with God. It's with our ability to hear and understand his voice. It's our ability to hear clearly his leading and his direction for our lives. And here's the thing. God is doing his part in this relationship, but for the most part, we don't reciprocate in the same way on those five elements of a good relationship. And it's fundamental. The success of any relationship requires that both parties are engaged almost equally, if not equally, for there to be true success. All aspects of a great relationship must be shared. So let's take a look at what we're asked in this relationship in these five areas. And we should sit and think, do we meet these criteria? Number one, mutuality of interest. God says that we're to have an interest in all the things that interest God in the workings of his kingdom. First scripture is Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And 2 Corinthians 13:8. Our responsibility is to never oppose the truth, but stand for the truth at all times. So we're to have an interest that is aligned up with God's interest and the things that interest his heart, which is his kingdom and the truth about who he is. That's to be our interest and our passion. We're also to have a strong attraction to him because of how amazing, marvelous, beautiful, and indescribable he is. The author of the Psalms write this in Psalms 29:1-2. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. And then Psalms 99:5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Our attraction, our desire is to be with him. Our longing is to want to be in his presence because of how glorious he is. Number three, we're to be honest with him. But first, you know what? We have to be honest with ourselves. Because we cannot really be honest with another person until we are honest with ourselves. And we must accept the reality of our spiritual condition and our depravity and just the fact that we are not capable of guiding our own lives and having the wisdom that we need for all the difficult decisions that we have to face. And we must be honest with our pride that says we often don't even want God to tell us. We want to do it ourselves. We want to think that we are capable, no matter how much of our life demonstrates that we're not. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. See if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you failed the test. And in John 15:5-6, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That is the reality. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize how needy and dependent we are upon God for all things. Number four, we're to be loyal to his interests and to the overall relationship. We're to give ourselves only to him, and we're to forsake all others. God often talks to us and relates to us in the concept of us being his bride. He's our betrothed. And in that same way of being married to someone where we're to forsake all others, this is what God is asking of us. In Romans 6:12-13, he says, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool for wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you've been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they'll live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. And in 1 John 2:24-25, so you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. And five, we're to respect and honor God, not only with our attitude, but with our choices, our behaviors. They have to line up so that the attitude and the behaviors we have in our life show respect to God for his honor and for his authority over us. Galatians 5:25 says, if we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Everything. We can't reserve these little sections for ourselves and say, that's mine. No, to have a vibrant relationship, all aspects of our life have to be in alignment. Ephesians 4:21-24. Since you've heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. And in Philippians 2, 5 through 7, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. I'm sure every one of us at some point in time has been in a relationship with someone where we really cared for them, we really loved them, and we gave to them, and we gave to them, and we gave to them, and we got nothing back. So we tried to understand what was wrong, so we like changed ourselves, and we started doing this different and doing that different to try to get their response, and still, we don't get that coming back to us. And no matter how much we try, no matter how hard we try to please them, no matter how hard we try to learn about them and do what it is that we think, you know, they like, they don't just love us back. And that is extremely painful and very difficult to get over. Could be that you've experienced that with a parent. Could be you've experienced with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But either way, it is hard. And if you think of the parallel, that is often how we act towards God. And this is how we treat his attempts to draw us into him and to be showered in his love and his embrace. And this is how we react to his marvelous promises that he's made to us of life and peace and freedom and rest. And no matter how much he has done to give us the opportunity to be complete in him, and no matter how many times he comes to us and he comes to us and comes to us, we simply act like we don't really want it. And the funny thing is, when life gets really difficult, when problems come and we're just overwhelmed, things get complicated, we have a lot of pain, or we have a critical decision that we have to make, all of a sudden, we want God to talk to us. All of a sudden, we're expecting him to come down and answer our prayers and tell us what we need to know. And when we don't hear from him, when we want to hear from him, we complain as if it's his fault and he's just refusing to answer. And instead of looking in the mirror and understanding that we're not doing our part of building and investing in this relationship to make it mutual, we're like spoiled children and we blame him and we say things like, God doesn't speak to me. The Bible doesn't work. I tried it. I read it and nothing really happened. I don't feel any different. I needed God's help and he didn't come and help me. It all stayed the same. And so for the most part, we live in frustration and we live in desperation. This can be depicted in these next two diagrams. Do we have the circles up again? My great circles. The first one is us, where we're barely a part of the relationship. Yeah, we've removed ourselves and like pushed ourselves out of his circle of protection. We're still connected, but we're totally outside of that circle of protection. And the second one depicts this place where we're kind of half in, half out, half doing our own thing, half doing the thing of God. See, it's no wonder that from our perspective, it seems that God's not talking to us. But the reality is this. We are not in the position to hear from him. We've built so many walls to keep him away. We've built so many barriers to having a healthy and a successful relationship that his voice gets lost. I'm going to use another diagram here, and I want to take a look at this because we're going to look at it from a little different perspective than just the circles, okay? Again, we're going to start with an ideal, and this is where we are now lined up side by side with God, just next to each other, close. And if you look at it from a distance, okay, it's really hard to see the separation between us. We're clearly unmistakably us, but we're also clearly unmistakably God. We look like we are one person. But when we're not willing to identify with the mutuality of interests, when our attraction for God wanes, when we're not honest with ourselves in terms of how desperately we need him and we think and just keep doing it on our own, and when we switch our loyalty away from him and instead put it on ourselves, the things of this world, our friends, our family, our jobs, our future, our relationships, what we think our rights are, our desires, our dreams, and when our attitude and our choices and our behaviors do not reflect a respect for his authority in our lives, and we live merely to please ourselves, there are so many things that prevent us from clearly hearing his voice. It's not that he's not talking. It's that we cannot hear him because everything that we have placed between us and him separates us and filters out and mutes his voice. The good news is that despite what we do, God never stops speaking. And he never stops doing his part to have us have a restored relationship with him. He never stops offering us his grace and his mercy towards us so that we can come to him in the fellowship of love. He never stops loving us, never. His love is eternal, yesterday, today, and forever. But you must understand this, if you want to hear God's voice, if you are going to know his wisdom for your life, and if you're going to receive and experience all the promises that God has made to you, you're going to have to do your part to make this relationship mutual. You simply must do your part. You see, underlying each of these areas that separate us and God that we've allowed to just build up and grow is some area of wrong belief or unbelief in the things God has said about himself or the things that God has said about us. See, all God asks is for our part in this relationship, okay, is dependence. Trust, complete dependence on trust on what he has said. In other words, our willingness to believe the truth about God. And this circles us all the way back to what we've talked about in the first couple weeks, and that is the issue of faith. Because without faith, you won't hear the voice of God. Everything about our part comes down to this issue of faith. And our willingness to take God at his word and to actively believe the truth, to base all that we are, all that we do, all that we identify ourselves with on what he has disclosed to us about himself. If you remember, he said that he was sufficient in all areas of our life. He wanted to be our living manna, our living food, enough to sustain us every single day of our life. And when we understand that, and when we are willing to believe it, then we will be doing our part. For his part, God promises that if we invest in and develop a relationship with him through believing the truth, that we will actually be able to know his will in all things in our life. It says that he will lead us, he will direct us, he will guide our steps. And he says, you will understand and know what is right, what is just, what is fair. And you'll know how to find the right course of action that you need to take every time. He says that his wisdom will enter your heart and his knowledge will fill you with joy. We're going to go back and look at that scripture in Proverbs 2. And we're going to look at the second half of it, verse 5 through 11. Again, pay attention, focus on it. It says, you will gain the knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants the treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of justice and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you'll know how to find the right course of action every time. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. So if you want to hear the voice of God in your lives, if you want to have his wisdom to sort through all the myriads of choices and decisions we have to make, okay, then your goal, at least our goal needs to be to eliminate all these barriers of wrong belief and unbelief that stand between us and God. And as we learn what God desires from us, as we learn what he has to say about each of the areas of our life, as we believe and experience his faithfulness, okay, and we start to trust him, then what happens is we can eliminate these barriers and push them down. And every time we push another one down, his voice becomes a little louder. It becomes a little clearer. And our ability to discern with clarity what he is saying to us improves because we have simply moved closer to him. There are less barriers, less restraints to that connection with God. And with each area of wrong belief and unbelief that we remove, the circles begin to join again. We begin to move closer and closer into that circle of protection where he starts covering us again and we can start being in contact with God. And so we continue this process. And again, as we gain more knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit focuses our attention on the areas where we're just believing the wrong things, or we're just refusing to believe. And when we choose to believe the truth, once again, we take another step closer and another barrier is removed. Intimacy becomes, you know, more at our fingertips. There becomes a oneness again where we start to look more like each other because we're closer and closer. And before you know it, you will find yourself safe and secure, there we go, in His arms of love. And you know what? As soon as you're in the circle, even if you're not dead center, when you're in the circle, you're going to hear His voice. You're going to know His leading, and you're going to obtain His wisdom for your life. And you know what? That's where you'll find joy. Can you imagine not having to worry anymore? Because you're doing what you know God has created you to do. You're walking where God has asked you to walk, and you're in the safest path possible. That doesn't mean a path without problems, and it doesn't mean a path without pain. It doesn't mean a path without the reality of life, but it's the path that He has charted out for you. So it is the safe path. It is the loving path, and it is the good path. And so we want to know always that we make the right decisions. For me, this has been an amazing journey, okay? Jesus, as I said before, He's about relationships. And it's the heart of Jesus that we have oneness with Him. He wants this love and protection to be around our lives. I've had to learn over these past, especially the past 6-7 years, how much I depended on myself. Fairly smart, could make decent decisions, had a good track record of making decisions in my life. And yet I realized that so much of what I did was based on my reason and my logic. And I can think about how many times I found myself in a place where I really didn't know what God wanted. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and there's just so much between me and God. And I thank God that over the last number of years, He's taken me through just trials and testing to just purge this stuff out of my life. And as He's done that, it's been amazing. It's been exactly what we depicted here in these graphics. It's closer and closer and closer. And there's a rest there. And there's a calmness. There's not a panic. There's not the anxiety. And there's not the worry. God always does what He says. I want you to look at this next scripture. It comes from what we call the great priestly prayer. This was the night before Jesus died. He was having dinner with His disciples. And then they, you know, went and they were talking about what was going to happen to Him. And He made this prayer. And it was a prayer for them, and it was a prayer for us. And I want to go through it just because, again, it shows you His heart. And He's talking to His Father here. He's talking to God, and He says, "But now I come to You. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have My joy made full in themselves." And that's His goal. Our joy, fullness. He doesn't want us to be walking around sad and depressed and upset and lonely and hurt. He wants us to experience the fullness in Him, where our lives, our okayness, our completeness is not dependent upon anybody else, but just Him. So He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me." This is the heart of Jesus, and this is the heart of His Father, that we are one in Him, indistinguishable, completely us and completely Him. Now here's the thing, how do we start this journey? How do we get to this place where we actually, you know, start walking down this path of where our circles can start joining each other and we can be one with God? Go back to the very beginning of Proverbs in chapter 2, the very first 4 verses. "My child, listen to Me. Treasure My instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure." This is the pathway. This is the journey that He's set before us to knowing and having the wisdom of God. This is the path to hearing His voice. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be diving deep into trying to understand this process and how we can listen, how we can treasure, how we can tune, how we can concentrate ourselves, how do we cry out, and how do we search for God. And remember his promise. If you search for him, okay, you're going to find him. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. But I can tell you this, he is only going to be found in the context of relationship. He'll be found in our doing our part to make this relationship mutual and shared. In fact, as we understand this process about listening, tuning, concentrating, crying out, and searching, okay, when we understand that and what it means, and if we start doing those things, we will be fulfilling our part of making this a successful and vibrant relationship where we actually are in fellowship, in union, and we hear his voice. We will also know then what it means to fear the Lord. We will know then what it means to have God's covering over our life. So I invite you back next week and over the next few weeks. Well, next week I think everybody's gone, right, for spring break. So if you're here, I'll be here. And if I'm praying by myself, I'll pray by myself. But if you're not, that's okay. But the following week, we'll be going back to this, and we'll start again understanding how do we make this journey and how do we begin to hear the voice of God for ourselves and our own lives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you are the God who talks and that you're the God who speaks to us, the God who absolutely loves us and wants us to be safe in your circle of protection. You don't want us to be extended out there where we're vulnerable to hurt and destruction and where the enemy has access to us. You want us to be completely cuddled by you, and I thank you for that. And I just pray that you just, God, put a desire in everybody who's sitting here, the burning to want to know more of what it's like to hear your voice for themselves, how your voice sounds like to them, and how it works its way in their bodies. And I just pray that everyone here would find themselves in you so they can walk with you in that way. I just ask this, God, and just pray that you do this work while everybody's gone at spring break. And just protect them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.